The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at cooperadio.org.
Today's chat is with Ian Tostenson. Ian is the CEO of the BC Restaurants and Food Services Association, and he shares with us how restaurants are faring during this pandemic. Here's Ian. Ian Tostenson, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks very much for reaching out.
Ian, tell us about the last meal you had from a restaurant.
You know, the last meal I went had was on Saturday night. It was a bit of a family celebration, and it was at the Keg restaurant in West Vancouver. And it was really because we went there because one of my sons, well, we all love the Keg. It's a standby, but yeah, so it was a Keg. And then usually we order a fair amount of food every week from local restaurants in on the North Shore. And because we live in the North Shore, and we tend to sort of be sort of sushi restaurants and some Italian restaurants, and the restaurants that primarily are because North Vancouver doesn't have a lot of chain restaurants, which is fine. We tend to sort of like to support local, and we find that local does a great job.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you had a nice celebration at the Keg on Saturday, and it sounds like you're well supplied with all the restaurants on the North Shore.
There's a real diversity of restaurants over here for sure.
Oh, good. Ian, we know that restaurants have taken such a hit.
Yeah.
And can give us some ray of hope here. Do you see a future for smaller restaurants?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do, and we are working completely hard to make sure that in fact happens. You know, restaurants, particularly small restaurants, are the heart and soul of the communities that they operate in. Their innovation, they tend to sort of cluster around families, a lot of family-owned restaurants, providing employment. So they're so important to the economies that they serve. The problem we've got here is that when we reopen, well, first of all, if we go back in history a bit here, when there was a provincial health order to close, not a lot of restaurants were prepared to do takeout and delivery. And that had to be a shift. You're seeing now more and more restaurants have gone into that, but it required, you know, a whole rethink about how they package their food, how the food travels, if they were going to deliver the food, did they get involved with Skip the Dishes or Uber Eats or whatever the situation was, and did they do pickup? So that was the sort of first dilemma. And that 2.5 months that restaurants were closed with dine out or pickup only, we lost a lot of small restaurants. They did not have the staying power and or the resources to make that transition. Then we saw the industry open again, and business, then there was the next hurdle was for smaller restaurants was to make the investment into the types of physical changes they had to make in the restaurants, right? From, you know, printing signs and printing, you know, little feet stickers on the floor to dealing with what was the initial health order was a 50% reduction in capacity. And no restaurant, I don't care who you are, there's no restaurant that can operate at 50% capacity, but we were able, working with industry, to get the government to say, let's not measure it on capacity percentages, let's measure it on the distance between tables. So we wrote the reopening plans for the industry, and what we suggested was, which is the regulations today, which is 6 feet between tables, no more than 6 people at a table, and no table hopping. And then, of course, all those sort of built-in other structural things the restaurant had to do with respect to keeping the premises clean, et cetera. So we probably lost initially about 10% of all restaurants in BC out of a total of 15,000. And we know that initially, and this was a study done by the Chamber of Commerce, that 10% of restaurants were not coming back. I worry that we could see higher failures, particularly in independent restaurants, during the next 3 or 4 months. This is a time when, you know, it's not very busy right now. We go into Christmas, but there's not going to be Christmas parties. And it's a long time till spring where patios reopen because the industry had a really rigorous patio program right across British Columbia, which helped. But I think we're potentially going to lose. And it's not just, by the way, the independent restaurants. I'm just talking about all restaurants, whether they're big or small. It's really, really tough for them right now. But I would expect another a loss of maybe as high as 20 to 30% more restaurants could close. That you could see, you know, losing a third by the time this is all over, a third of the industry as a result of COVID-19.
I want to reflect on how much of a loss that would be for Vancouver and for the rest of the province. And 10% is already gone, maybe up to 30%. And maybe let's just explore the human dimension of this together. I know when we talk about percentages, we know it's a large percentage, but I'm thinking too about how much emotional energy, personal money goes into starting a restaurant for every single one of those businesses that closed. There was a hardworking person or family behind them investing a whole lot of personal money and savings into it.
Yeah, restaurants tend to not be, well, let me say it this way. Unless you know what you're doing, and even when you know what you're doing, it's very difficult for restaurants to make money. And typically, the average return for a restaurant is, 4%, 5% before tax. So there's not a lot of room for error. That's when all things are going great. And so you're right. People take, I know there was an Iranian couple that I helped. I wish they hadn't done this, but they opened a restaurant in Vancouver on Fraser Street prior to the pandemic. And they did this for, the reason was, is they wanted to invest $450,000 in a restaurant because that meant they could bring, they could employ their family, they could employ 10 other people, and they could stay in Canada. And I just went, oh, and the only thing they had, and they were such a nice family, the only thing they had was their mother's recipes that they had for certain Persian dishes. They opened, it was really hard for them to understand all the different regulations and stuff they had to do. And they, unfortunately, when the pandemic hit, they didn't make it. So that happens all the time where people have an idea and they have a passion, but they don't necessarily have the technical skills to operate a business. And they are, you know, you have to be somewhat of a business manager when it comes to leasing, and you have to be a marketing, have some appreciation of marketing. You need to understand your menu and your costings of your menu. You have to be an HR manager and be able to deal with higher staff and to manage staff. Then you've got to be a public relations expert when it comes to handling your guests. And it's a very difficult role to play because normally an independent restaurant has very few resources. So you're going to see the owner or owners maybe of the business having to do all those functions and having to put in long hours and, and very little return. So when you take the business and now say you can only operate at 60% capacity and all these other issues that we have around that, that's the toll we take. And a lot of people, that's the only thing they ever knew was opening a restaurant. Now what happens typically in any economy, you'll get a regeneration. So people that leave shut down their businesses, we're actually seeing people opening restaurants, but they're getting in at a lower cost level. There's opportunities. So when restaurants close, other ones will reemerge. They'll have a different cost structure. There might be, a location that some entrepreneur really wants. So you'll see a regeneration of that, but you're not going to see the industry back up to the kind of numbers we had of 15,000 restaurants probably for a long time. That was because of a very robust economy that was based on strong economic growth in British Columbia, and as a result, strong tourism in British Columbia. None of that exists today. So that's, if you downtown Vancouver, you know, the other problem in downtown Vancouver right now is that most offices are not operating. Most of the people are working in the suburbs, and restaurants in the suburbs are doing not too bad, by the way. And then they're also,
That's good to
know.
And okay.
Yeah. So everybody's at home going, okay, I'm living in, I'm going to my Burnaby restaurants. They're clustering. That's why at the beginning of this, when I talk about North Vancouver, we have an office downtown, but there's no one downtown, frankly. So I'm working, we have an office in my house. And we, as a result, it benefits the restaurants around here. But the other problem that Vancouver has, of course, is that there's no tourism. And so the corridor of Gastown and the big restaurants that are on the water, they're suffering. And so are the little takeout sandwich places and the ramen places and the pho places that had the business crowd that would be picking up stuff for lunch. It's not there. It's really difficult.
Ian, you talked about a lot of things, and let's just drill down into some of them. One, I want to note that you talked about the family that you're working with, and I know that in this pandemic, we know that it hits folks who have, this pandemic in general has hit folks who have fewer resources and fewer and lower ability to navigate the system for whatever reason. And so I've been hearing that immigrant-owned business or minority-owned businesses, people who are equity-seeking groups who own restaurants, tend to be having a harder time in this pandemic. Is that something you're seeing, or is that something that is thankfully not the case?
No, I think it's a real concern. There's a layer of investment in the industry that has been there because of people invested money, and there's a certain level of $400,000 or $500,000 that you can get into Canada, open a business, hire people like the Iranian family. There is a high level of ethnicity in the industry, so Vancouver restaurants I think are close to 40% where would be considered to be an ethnic restaurant. It's actually increasing, and every scene. And it's my real concern right now, because not a lot of these restaurants necessarily, English is not their first language, and so it's even harder for them to navigate the technical side of a COVID crisis. A COVID crisis, because you're right. So the ethnicity, especially in places like Vancouver and Metro Vancouver, is really it's proportionally larger than the rest of BC.
Let's talk a little bit about restaurant profit margins. Ian, you mentioned that when all things go well, a profit margin for a restaurant can be something like 4 to 5%, and I think that that's not a lot of what a lot of us imagine. We go into a restaurant and think, well, I'm paying $16 for a Thai curry or whatever we pay, and we think that a good amount of it ends up in the restaurateur's pocket. But that's not the case. Could you break down food and beverage revenue for us?
Yeah, so your food costs would be, anywhere from 20 to 30%. Your liquor costs are going to be anywhere from, if you have liquor, your food, the liquor costs are going to be probably 30%. Your utilities and rent are going to be somewhere in the, between 15 and 20%. And so that's pretty much, all of it. There's a little bit left for, capital reserves, but basically it's food costs, labor costs, and occupancy costs. And Vancouver, in particular, went nuts when it came to passing on property tax increases, and the landlords were increasing their leases. And a lot of restaurants, like around Robson Street and stuff, they moved out of there. They couldn't afford it. This is public knowledge, the White Spot on West Broadway, if you were to go look at how much property tax they pay, the White Spot on West Broadway in Vancouver pays close to $600,000 a year of property tax.
How does anyone afford that? I mean, White Spot's a larger restaurant than many other restaurants, but still, that's an enormous amount of.
Well, but they still have to, Yeah, and that restaurant still has to stand its own. It is not getting a handout from anybody else. Each business unit, whether you're a Tim Hortons or White Spot or a ramen place, it has to stand its own economics. And no one's going to say, well, you know, and so it's the property taxes in Vancouver have been just awful, and it's just eaten up. So you've got that. And then you have all sorts of, small business issues around packaging and environmental and all the different costs associated with that. And it's all good stuff. I mean, we're the first industry to say we have to do that kind of stuff, but it's getting harder and harder. And you're going to see Vancouver potentially bringing in a 25-cent tax on single serve containers in January, which we think the timing is really wrong for that, because from a consumer and a business point of view, they're not ready to do that. But you've got all those environmental responsibilities in the middle of this. So March 1st, the minimum wage went up. And so we're getting close to $15. And again, the industry doesn't mind paying wages, but wages went up at a time when, you know, businesses was pretty soft. So all these things, people call it a death by a thousand cuts. It's just everywhere you look, there's another price increase or a cost increase, or the price of food goes up. So the $15 dish that we enjoy in a restaurant, pretty much the entire cost of that, or the cost of the consumer of that, just goes to pay the bills. And so when I talked about earlier that there's reduced capacity, just imagine now that your revenue has been taken away. 40% of your revenue has been taken away because there's physical restrictions in the restaurant. And that's where the smaller restaurants are particularly vulnerable, because they don't have the resources to have a rigorous takeout program or skip the dishes, or, you know, you see a lot of restaurants have gone into some pretty innovative stuff because they can now sell alcohol with takeout and delivery. You know, a lot of restaurants, small restaurants, maybe don't even have a liquor license. And they did not have enough room for patio expansion in the summertime. So that's what the industry has been faced with. And it's just tragic. I mean, I had more business owners, and what motivated us to just be excellent at helping with the Restaurant Association is I had business owners at the beginning of this in March, when this all started to happen. They were, you know, several of them were in tears, and they weren't in tears about themselves. They were in tears because they were worried about their staff. They were worried about what their staff was going to do, and, you know, what about their jobs and stuff. And now we're seeing that's all been straightened out. Now we're seeing business owners, and there's some surprising restaurants in Vancouver that are in, you know, single restaurants that are in real trouble, just because the business downtown is really, really well. Like I said, that, you know, business in downtown Vancouver is probably off 60-70% just because of the lack of people down there.
Ian, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the short term for restaurants, you know, the next 3 months, and then the midterm and the long term. What do you see as, let's start on the government policy side, in each of those durations, what would help?
The federal government's been actually quite good when it comes to rent relief, wage subsidies. There's an improvement in the rent program, which is going to be very helpful. So that takes away some of the cost pressure there. So that's going to help. Number two is the provincial government. We were able to affect for those restaurants that are licensed. They can now buy their alcohol at wholesale prices. So that's made a difference, because that's saved them about 20% of their cost when they buy liquor. So that helps them increase their margins. We just ended the patio season. We've got a winter patio program that all of the municipalities in BC are more or less participating in, the idea of getting people outside, like Dr. Henry, to get fresh air. And so there's some winter programs. And so they're going to have to take advantage of all those different things, and takeout and delivery, and put the combination together to see if they can get through this. In the medium term, if we can get through this, we get into the spring. And I think what's going to happen in the springtime is you're going to see, by the time we get to the spring, there will be a certain segments of our population that have received a vaccination. And you're going to see, as we get into the late spring, that a large part, likely a large portion of the population will have had a vaccination. And so by the time you get to summer, I'm predicting that those that can make it that far, that we're going to see somewhat of resumption to normal, and whatever normal is. But, you know, it's not going to be crowded bars and restaurants and going crazy, but it's going to be always probably be a controlled circumstance. There's going to be a lot of technology now that's in restaurants that provide less touch points. We're always going to be conscious in the future in restaurants of spacing, of things that we touch, on sanitation, which has always been a priority for restaurants, but even more so, even though we have a vaccination, there's still going to be a cautiousness.
I can see that.
You'll see industry resume to probably 2/3 of its size right now, and but it'll be probably be stronger, and it'll be a lot more equipped to handle, you know, the next crisis that's around the corner, whenever that is.
Yeah, maybe just briefly, could you talk a little bit about municipalities, particularly Vancouver and the property taxes? I know that's been a large bane for many businesses, not just restaurants and including restaurants. What could municipalities do to alleviate that burden?
They need to deal with a lot of their fees, licensing fees and application fees. They need to speed up the process. So when you're looking to, and we're able to do this, by the way, but when they're looking, when a business is looking to a patio, they can get the patio approval done quickly, not for, you know, months and months. If they require any sort of structural change, sometimes it could take up to 9 months. So what we learned is, and the municipalities have shown us, they can act quickly when there's pressure on them to help save business. They can act quickly. They need to also, and I think this is a provincial issue, they need to deal with the property tax. So the property tax in British Columbia is based on highest and best use of a property. So if you're in a, if you have a restaurant, but that restaurant actually could have a office tower, then you're taxed accordingly, and they've got to change that. That this makes no sense. And so suddenly there's no way you're going to be able to afford that. So it's property taxes, red tape and regulation, and fees. And then I think in Vancouver is a great example is they get carried away with, you know, what 2 years ago they said, well, we're going to get rid of natural gas in Vancouver because, you know, for the future, as a future fuel, natural gas is not where they wanted to be. Well, of course, just about every single restaurant in Vancouver would be out of business because we're cooking natural gas. So they've got to stop using just having these scientific experiments with ideas that just makes the business community shudder, but rather they need to change their approach, which they've been really good at, is coming to us and working through the problems and the opportunities that we have to set a course here. But it can't be City Hall just being directive. It was the same thing with ride sharing that I was involved in, is that that was just a battle of a bunch of, you know, of a bunch of people that had a certain philosophy that did not want it to happen. And they threw everything at it to try to stop it from happening. But at the end of the day, the consumer won because that's where the demand showed. So it's going to be really tough. It's going to be really, really hard for restaurants. But if they rely on the programs in place right now, particularly with the federal government, on employment programs, subsidy programs, and rent programs, that's going to give them a much better chance to get through to the other side.
Ian, thank you so much for your time today. And I know that we're all rooting for the restaurants in our neighborhoods.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to talking to you anytime.
Take care. And that was Ian Tossenson. Ian is the CEO of the BC Restaurants and Food Services Association, and he told us about how restaurants have been doing during the pandemic. And that's our show for today. You're listening to The Pulse and CFRO, your super local morning news show here on Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 FM. I'm Tan Macy. Thank you so much for joining us today. Please send us your feedback of the show. I'm at macy@coopradio.org. Again, that's meixi@coopradio.org. Ciao. Take care.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.